You can go ahead and turn to read it. It's in Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and its train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." In the beginning of this vision, Isaiah began to see the Lord enthroned in the midst of praises all about him. When you read in verse 3 about the word holy, the Hebrew translation of that word is brought out to mean separated, unapproachable. Isaiah began to have this vision. So before he ever got to his calling, before he ever went forth and took any steps, he began to behold the glory of God and see in that vision that God had given him. Before he ever got to the words, "Here I am, send me," he had to begin by beholding the glory of God. And oftentimes we miss God's glory in everything that's about us. The beauty that we behold in our eyes. The blessings that he gives every day. But hallelujah, I thank him for the Spirit that comes by to us and gives us a vision. Somebody may not see it. They may not understand what's laying on your heart. But God begins to deal with you where you begin to behold his glory. When you read a word, the word glory in verse 3, Hebrew translation, God's authority, greatness, and his weighty presence, a heavy presence. Anytime you read about somebody that beholds God, they fall down to their face. They can't even begin to see or even be worthy to stand to see the presence of God. And when I think of his glory, and if I'm able to stand any other way and not behold it, there's something holding me down from being able to go any further in him. I've got to begin to recognize the power that God has. It moved the very post in this vision, so I know that I serve a God that is all powerful. You have got to learn to behold God's glory in what you're walking in by seeing the blessings in the midst of something. It's time to stop seeing the glass half empty. It's time to stop beating ourselves up, and it's time to recognize the blessings of God that's about us every day. If he woke you up this morning, then he woke you up to bless you. If he got you up in good health, then you have no disease that would hinder you. If he got you up in joy, no doubt God wanted to bless you. I got up today with some joy. Did you get up today knowing that all is well in your house? Then don't look any further to know that God's glory is all about you. We serve a God that's in authority. Woo! Oh, he's in control, is what I'm trying to say. God is in control of this church. He's in control of our lives. And no matter whether we want to go with the grain or against the grain, God's still in control of what we're going through. And hallelujah, if you don't want to enjoy the presence of God, there's nothing that anybody can do about that. But we're missing the very first step to begin to behold his goodness. But Jared, you don't know how much that I see the suffering in life. You don't know how much that we see people that are falling to the wayside. But where is those that are beholding God's glory? Where are those that will praise him for the things that he's still doing? Where are those that will worship in spite of their flesh trying to come against them? It's few and far between, to be honest with you. Few and far between. God, how can I be closer to you? We got to first acknowledge how good that he is. His glory came in that vision in the form of smoke. When God's glory is all about something, It's going to have His anointing on it. You are going to have the very essence of God's glory walking with you. No doubt that they would be able to behold the very essence that you walk in. When God's glory is being acknowledged in your life, hear this. When the praises of the Lord are on your lips and it is the fruit of what you speak, you begin to have an essence about you that when you go by somebody, they see God's glory on you. You don't even have to say nothing for them to know that God is moving in your life. Oh, where are the tears for somebody to see when we're suffering but believing God? That is the very essence of God for His glory to dwell in our lives. It is His pleasure to be glorified in our everyday life. So many times I miss the main purpose in my life. And you know, God has blessed me so much and given me someone wonderful. And I talked about this the other night. And there's times that we will separate and be intimate with one another. Yes, because we love each other. Me and my wife. It's not something that we would do in front of everyone, but it's something that we take pleasure in on our own. And God is looking for times that we will steal away, separate, and be intimate with Him. How in the world can you be intimate with God? Hallelujah. Prayer is the greatest way that you begin to lift yourself up and strengthen yourself. When you need God to bring you blessings, you've got to show God that you love Him. No better way to begin to feel His glory just to fall down on your face and be humble before Him. Enemy has so many of us already beat down that we don't get to the first word of prayer. In fact, sometimes prayer even slips our mind throughout the day. And then we get so weary and only complain and begin to question God and where He's at in something. But we miss being able to know that His essence and His glory will only dwell in somebody that's looking for it. Isaiah had a vision and he saw the glory of God. It was powerful. It was moving. It didn't have anything to hold it back. Hallelujah. When the glory of God is on you, no man, no woman, no doctrine, no religion will ever hold you back from fulfilling His purpose. You'll get up and sing when they don't even have a piano. You'll begin to preach when everybody would say, go home or get out of here. Because you know that when it burns in your heart, that you've got to let God have His glory. He had a vision. So let's break this down even further. He received the vision. He saw the glory of God. He began to behold His power. And what's the very next thing that happens? Verse 5. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When you begin to behold God's glory and acknowledge Him in your life, when you feel the Spirit of God moving on you, the very first thing that it's going to produce is that knowing that we're unclean, that we're undone, that we have things that try to hold us back. People pay thousands and millions and billions of dollars to counsel with people, and their advice will never keep them. Because all they're doing is just acknowledging that they're undone. So if you get to the place where you know that you've messed up but don't go any further, then you're just dwelling in the problems that you have. You're dwelling in the mistakes that you're making. And God didn't want us to dwell when we start feeling like a failure. There's more to it. He said, woe is me, for I'm unclean and I'm dwelling in a land of unclean lips. Let's just be real. When your speech speaks death in your own life, then we've not got into the presence of God like we should. When you hear yourself speak death instead of being faithful and speaking faith over your trials, we have not spent enough time dwelling in the smoke of the temple, dwelling in the glory of God, thinking upon good thoughts and good things, and putting in something in your radio or reading something that feeds you instead of starving you, or not putting junk in our life every day. There's so much that consumes us, yet it's not the one thing that'll keep us from complaining. Hallelujah. If I had a dime for every time I heard somebody unhappy, I'd be the richest man in Tennessee. But God does not want us to dwell in being upset with ourselves. does not want us to dwell in being upset with one another, because when you're upset with somebody, you cannot be in agreement with them. You cannot be as one with them. In other words, there's no unity there. So he said, woe is me. Verse 6, it says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. So upon realizing this vision, this revelation, knowing God's perfection, knowing he was undone, acknowledging the sinful condition, something began to happen. God began to offer up forgiveness and cleanliness for his sinful nature. When we feel like that we're hindered or held back, and God begins to pour out and tug at your heart for change, then that's the time that we have to heed to what he's speaking. There's so many times that I've missed blessings upon blessings because I get so upset that when I even acknowledge that I have a problem, that I can't get the words out to pray because I'm so frustrated. If you've not been there, then let me just tell you, it's hard to fall down and to pray and to say, God, help me, when you're in the middle of something you don't understand. And you don't get it, and you don't know why they have to go through things so hard. And when I pray, and sometimes I don't see results, and I don't see God move just yet, and I get weary, and I say, God, when is it coming? And in myself, I get discouraged and get to the place where you feel like the prayer is just something that you can put off, or prayer is just another thing that maybe you could just go to bed and forget. But the enemy has got us pinned into that corner. God's wanting us to come out of that. When you behold his holiness, it will cause you to be separate from what's hindering you. And it'll give you the ability to say life into it and not death. That heap of coal represented a couple things. It represented the source of the light of God that began to divide the truth, that helped him to acknowledge his sinful nature. And where did that even come? It was from the source of the altar. So it began to deal with his heart and something that will burn out sin. It cleanses you to where you're pure. And how many of us know that the source of purity is the blood of Jesus Christ? It's the very thing that's brought us to where we are today. It cleansed you. It puts you on the path to where you need to go. Today I don't walk on a shaky foundation. I know that I'm covered by his blood. And so if I can just begin to know his glory all about me, and I feel it right now. I feel it right now. Oh, I thank you, God. When I begin to behold his glory, it rings me out. And I finally give up. And the surrender begins to come from my lips and say, God, I don't get it. Lord, I don't understand, but I know that you're in the midst. God, I know that you're moving. And something begins to transpire. My heart begins to be humbled. And I'm no longer frustrated. And I'm no longer complaining to my neighbor or to my family member, but I'm beginning to be a voice of life to somebody. Somebody will try to tell you about their problems, and we're so upset with ours that we end up trying to compete with them on how bad things are. Can you believe my electric bill was $200 this month, Jared? Well, you should have seen my bill. It was $350. Well, I've got a cough. Well, I had the flu so bad I couldn't sit up. As if we were trying to compete for who has it most pitiful. I don't understand why we dwell in something that we know will never prosper us. But here's the solution to that. When we're not dwelling in God's presence, it's the only place you can dwell. It's the only place that you'll live. You'll live in your thoughts and your imaginations, and they'll begin to separate you from the very presence of God, and you'll find yourself weak and low, and the spiritual death is a very painful thing. And God did not bring this word in my heart just for me to tell it to you in a very kind manner, but
God is wanting to remind us that if we're going to survive spiritually, that it's time that we begin, oh, to get that vision back in our heart when he saved us, when he cleansed us, to know of his power, to know of his glory, and to be separate from that which is getting in our way. It may be a $300 bill, but so what? We serve the one that has the cattle on a thousand hills. We serve the one whose money is infinite and is there to supply your every need. Another thing God laid on my heart was this. Confession is the best way to open up the way to God's grace and his mercy. Putting it out there before God is the very thing that he wants us to do. Now, that kind of prayer is different than a prayer of thankfulness or a prayer of faith. It's slightly different. Because when you begin to just get down and tell God what's bothering you, it's a pride killer. Pride can't stay when you begin to be humble. And you begin to confess those things that are bothering you. Listen, hold on to it all that you want to. You will never overcome. We do not have the power nor the ability to overcome principalities of our own flesh. We don't have the ability to overcome our thoughts. You can try it all that you want to, but we fail every time. But the bottom line is this tonight. He allowed the forgiveness and the cleansing of his heart to happen before he ever got to hear the call of God. People have got to be cleansed before they are ever called. Amen. We have got to be washed in his blood before we can ever realize that we can sing or that we can preach or that we have a purpose for anything. We've got to have that. So when we stand and we feel like it's hard, I want you to know that sometimes it will be. But when you allow that cleansing power to work in your life all the time, you won't come in with something that hinders you from offering from your heart. You won't be dwelling in your mind. And you'll be able to present something and give it back to God that's with the love of your heart and not with the frustration of your flesh. We have got to be cleansed, and everything that hinders us washed away for us to truly realize the calling, before we truly realize the purpose. Because we, every now and then we'll be up on the mountain and we'll preach it high and hot and just preach it like boulders falling. But then we get in the low place and we forget and get weary and don't take the time to confess our faults. And it shows on us. Well, how does it show? Well, if you're down and telling your neighbor that you're having it hard, then there's no faith in the presence of that. God wants us to be stronger than that. And you can read verse 7, it says, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Verse 8 says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then he said, here am I, send me. There's many of us in this room right now that God has a great work for, a great work for. And God sent this word tonight just for you. You know that you're called. You know that you've got something huge to do before God. But we've got to put all of those steps in to our walk before we can ever have the heart to truly say, here I am. Lord, send me. When you come out and obey God, you won't be frustrated. And you won't be down. But the presence of God will give you strength. The word I'm giving you tonight is that before you can ever say, here am I, send me, there's got to be the beholding of his glory. And there's got to be the acknowledgement of his power. And when you do that, you begin to fall before him and surrender. And when you surrender, your heart will begin to be humbled. And as you are humbled, God will begin to work in your life. And as you accept that, you'll be cleansed. And God then can begin to use you. And when he calls for you, be willing to say, here am I, Lord. Send me. There's a church somewhere that needs you. It may be here. It may be somewhere else. There's somebody on your job that needs you. There's a family member right now that needs you. Everybody needs a voice of life, the voice of God. God wants to use us so that He can be glorified. And He sent me tonight, no doubt, to give this to you. And He sent me here to give you this word. Why? Because there's somebody out there that's lost that needs to be cleansed. They don't need our judgments. They don't need another service that's bland. But they need a sincere offering from our hearts. And to stop holding back because of our problems. But to let God perform His work and be able to go out and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. Lord, send me. I answered that a long time ago. It feels like forever now. And though there's been many ups and many downs in the midst of it all, I can testify to you today that every message and every time God spoke to me has been worth it. Every time. Every time that I answered with a sincere heart and surrender, I was blessed. I was blessed in the moment, and I was blessed going out. I didn't see the solution every time, and I didn't see the prosperity every time, and I didn't feel the health right then sometimes. But if I offered myself humbly, God blessed me. Don't miss your blessing tonight because we're not willing to heed to His presence. Don't miss that. Just heed to it and say, God, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready to surrender. Lord, send me to do your work. I went through the entire book of Isaiah and was amazed at some of the words that he began to say. But none of them were more compelling and more touching to me than that very line. Here am I. Send me. He would have never got to the great feats of God's glory to speak words that healed lands and destroyed strongholds had he not humbled himself in the beginning. Would have never got there. And that way has been made for all of us, that when He speaks to us, that we just surrender in our heart and heed to His Spirit. And by the blood of Christ, we'll come through all things. It reads in the Word of God like this, church. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm encouraged, not because of all the things that try to discourage me, but I'm encouraged tonight because I'm cleansed. I'm changed. I'm separate from every bit of garbage the enemy's trying to throw on my property. But I'm taking my broom out, my sword, my word of God, and I'm drawing a line about me. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm ready. And I'm not letting all this garbage pile up in my life. Lord, show me what it is and it goes. Show me what it is and it goes. Lord, help me to be cleansed before you. That when you give me a word, that I can be used of you. And this is not to speak death on anything, but this is just reality. There are preachers that are called, but by not going through the whole process to get all the way to a humble heart, are delivering words to people that aren't helping them. There are choirs everywhere that, because we're not going through the complete process of being cleansed by God, are singing songs that aren't touching people. And there are ministries and missions and all kinds of things that, though on the surface and to our eyes, we see buildings going up and we see festivals and fundraisers and what have you, that without our heart being in the right place, it does not profit. Paul began to address this in his part of the Bible, and he began to say, though I could have all the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I have nothing. He was making reference to, if I can't get to a humble heart, then nothing else that we do matters. If we can't get to a place where we're humble, then you never get to the calling. You never get to the gifts of men and angels. You never get to the word of prophecy or being able to have an amazing gift of wisdom. We never get there because our hearts aren't prepared to do that work. Let me just tell you, God will never send you to a place to preach while you're frustrated. Never. You'll be ready and your heart will be in the right place and you'll know it in your spirit. God will never send you to a place where you sing and sing out of frustration. And if we try to push on and do that anyway, shame on us for not being the right example for somebody that needs it. Tonight, I would love more than anything
to begin to have less high and lows and be more constant in Him. And I'm striving with all that's in me to begin to recognize every day His glory. And I don't know how that you would count your blessings, but even when I get up and I'm just driving down the road, I think, God, I drive this every day, and yet I'm safe. And Lord, I could get up so depressed, but God, I'm of sound mind. And Lord, I could have a job that would be a torment to me, but you blessed me with something I enjoy. And it doesn't take me very long just to begin to behold the good things that God is doing. And when I do that, when the first thing that tries to come to afflict my mind, I'm already prepared because I'm humbled by His goodness in what He's doing. So when we're looking for our call and say, Lord, I know I'm called to do something, hear this tonight. Step one, get in the Spirit of God and count the blessings of what He's doing. If you can get there, then the rest of it's like cake. When you first got saved, all you had to do was just acknowledge His glory, and He began to draw you. I've heard people testify that they just took the first step, and He took the rest. I've heard other people testify that when they went out, they'd been carried and floated as if they were in air, that they just felt like God was carrying them to the altar. I've heard it many ways, many forms, but how did they get there? They finally let go of themselves and got a hold of Him. So I love you tonight, and I sow this into your spirit. Go home and read this, but get it in your heart to be able to say sincerely, here I am. Lord, send me.